Look at the calendar, folks. You got your New Year's Day. Okay, it's January 1st, but there's also Chinese New Year. But the truth is that communities in Vietnam, Korea, Mongolia, Tibet, all over Asia, have their own traditions and foods built around the day, which isn't January 1st. It follows the lunar calendar. Today, we're talking with someone who's personally acquainted with the Korean New Year, or what's it called?
Seollal in Korean. It's difficult to pronounce. But.
Kelly Choi is former host of Top Chef Masters, a Korean-American, and is here to explain some of the rituals of Korean New Year.
Such
and
a pleasure.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Thanks. So in a Korean household, what is the New Year tradition, and how does it differ from, say, all those fireworks I see being blown off
right,
at Tet?
Right.
Okay.
You know, it's very much a day of remembering it's spent with family and friends, mostly with family, though. It's kind of comparable to, I guess, on the Western calendar, to in concept, like Thanksgiving Day.
Well, the ambiance in the studio, I can't even begin to convey to our listeners. There is such fabulous food here. And how does the food tradition, and tell me what these dishes are, figure into the family tradition and the storyline of New Year's for Korean families?
There is a dish that you must have to start the New Year. It's called tteokguk. The translations I've seen, they call it rice cake stew. But it's not a cake in the traditional sense that we think of. It's kind of a pounded sweet rice and regular rice.
Mm-hmm.
And they're made into these cylinders and then cut on the sides, sort of like discs, you might say, right? And some people say it signifies coins for prosperity in the new year or a clean slate, you know, starting anew again. So that very much, you cannot enter the new year or you cannot have any good health or wealth with your family unless you have this dish. So this is a thing you must try and you must have with your family. Do you like it? I hope it's still warm and yummy for you because it should be. Kind of like a nice fuzzy blanket on a cold day, you know.
For me to call this, you know, soup with dumplings, that's just...
Yes.
That's, but it's wrong. It's
kind
so
of.
Tiny. It's so
right,
simplistic.
Right. But it's I guess, an easier way to think of what this dish would be, because I think a lot of people, when they think of Korean cuisine, for sure they think of barbecue a lot, I guess, in New York, and that is very essential, for sure, in Korean cuisine, but there's so much more, and this is one dish that I think... I hope that people will be able to try a lot more.
What am I eating now? We got the glass.
Yes, you're trying
here?
A dish called japchae. It's totally usual suspect at any Korean table, whether it's like a you know, celebration or a birthday. Absolutely, for sure, it would be there for New Year's Day too. It's potato starch noodles that have been added to sautéed vegetables, probably some spinach over there and onions. Definitely some beef. You
mushrooms.
Can make it vegetarian if you want. Shiitake mushrooms go in there too. And it's a great kind of introductory dish, I think, for people who've never tried it because it's just so savory and toothsome and it's got a nice al dente bite to it and it's tasty for sure.
And now, I mean, I guess...
Dun-da-da-da.
Now, main course is the
what
wrong...
What a breakfast for you.
Yeah, what a breakfast indeed. I'm looking at a bowl...
Of beef brisket hunks, right? Oh. Hunky, sexy meat with a bone in. It's called kaegijim.
What she said.
Yeah.
what she said. Now, these are short ribs.
Yes, they are.
And they look to have been braised for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just take a little sample here.
Yeah, what you see is short ribs that are left on the bone. It's a rustic dish with carrots and jujubes in there. They add a sweetness to it. It's probably some onions and garlic for sure.
What is the sweetness?
It's from the soy sauce, and you do add sugar to the broth, to the marinade. And then I think there's some chestnuts in there as well.
There are carrots. That's what these are here.
These are jujubes. Those are jujubes, and they're, I mean, that's the English word for it, but they're kind of like dried dates in a way, right? And I like to eat them just even straight out of the bag. You kind of put them in water and let them get softer.
Now, why is this a New Year's dish?
It's definitely one that, again, it's one of those usual suspects that you would have at any gathering. But I guess in the olden times when people were growing up very poor, any kind of meat in and of itself is a celebratory event.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to have this when it comes to any sort of Korean gathering.
After dinner.
Yes.
On New Year's. You don't sit around and watch football in a Korean-American household, do you?
Actually, it's strangely enough, you eat this either breakfast or kind of lunch, and so then you do. You eat, you hang out at the table, you talk, you play games. There's a game that sometimes we play. It's called Yunnori, and it's these sticks, wooden sticks, and you just kind of like throw it. It's sort of, I guess, like dice in a way. Kids will, you know, run around and wreak havoc, and the adults kind of sit over there by themselves and talk about what's aching their back, and, you know, you can karaoke sometimes, you know, typical things
that
you do with family.
Invite me next year.
Come,
you know,
for
have
sure.
A happy year. Kelly Choi.
Thank you. It's certainly been a happy new year.
Happy New Year.
The best part is you can have two New Years. So if you broke any resolutions or didn't keep any resolutions, you can try it this time.
Excellent. Excellent. Former host of Top Chef Masters, Kelly Choi. Emmy Award-winning Korean-American
chef.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Thank you. And of course, she joined us and brought all those fabulous dishes in on behalf of the Korean Food Foundation. Happy New Year to all of you out there. And you want to try any of these excellent recipes at home, head over to thetakeaway.org. And now for the latest on what's going on in the Middle East.
Well, it turns out that the army is beginning to, it looks like, move in support of anti-government protesters. Several numbers of soldiers have cleared a bridge where there were pro-government supporters throwing rocks down on protesters down in the square, Tahrir Square in Cairo, and they've moved tanks in between the two opposing sides. In the meantime, the prime minister of Egypt made an apology for the assault by pro-Mubarak groups. The officials in the Egyptian government rarely issue apologies or acknowledge that they've made any mistakes. We also have reports now that a joint statement from European leaders, it includes French President Nicolas Sarkozy, German Chancellor Angela Merkel, British Prime Minister David Cameron, Italian Premier Silvio Berlusconi, and Spanish Prime Minister José Luis Rodríguez Zapatero all urged the transition in Egypt to begin now. One has to assume they're talking about Mubarak stepping down, although it does not explicitly say that, according to this joint statement. And earlier in the program, Rashid Khalidi, the Edward Said Professor of Modern Arab Studies at Columbia University, joined us. And we asked him about whether or not the army, he thought the army was a key component in this uprising.
If the army does not move the way that it did in Tunis and actually protect the demonstrators from the regime's thugs or the regime's security forces, which is what really this is, then this revolution will be broken.
That's Rashid Khalidi. Give us your take on what's happening in Egypt or anywhere else at 877-8-MY-TAKE.